How are things in Terre Haute? I'm Dave Crooks from the DLC Media News Center. On this week's Focus on the Community, my special guest is Mayor Duke Bennett. Mayor, welcome back to the DLC Media Radio Center.
It's good to be here, Dave.
Well, appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to stop in and give us a quick update on what is going on in Terre Haute. First of all, I'll just turn you loose. You haven't done this program in a while. What should people be aware of if they haven't paid close attention to all the activity in Terre Haute?
You know, it's been an exciting year. It's gone really fast. I've heard you try to follow along from the media perspective, but a lot of people just don't do that these days. And right. So they get a lot of it from social media. So when I go out and speak to groups, they'll ask me the question, you know, what's going on in Terre Haute? And you know, I have to pause for a minute because I'm caught up in so much stuff. It's all around me, but thinking about what's important to people. And I guess I'm really excited that we got the convention center open. That was a multi-year. I mean, we had to go to the legislature and battle through that in a variety of capacities. And then we finally got moving with it and then got it built and open. Now it's just, you really feel good, but it took, you know, 4 or 5 years to get us to that point. And so now I'm kind of relishing in that. And others are like, okay, well, we've already done that. Now what's next? You know, sometimes government moves slow, but we get things done. Just still really excited that we got the police station done and it came in under budget. I was in a meeting there a couple weeks ago, I guess it is now, and just seeing that facility makes me feel really proud about what we've provided for our police department. You know, we're working really hard on our community plan. Anybody can make a plan, but if you don't act on it, you know how they get. They'll sit on a shelf and do nothing. Well, this one has really been engaging, and we've got a couple hundred people in our community that are kind of working on it on a regular basis. And we're starting to see some progress there. We're working on some healthcare related things. We're a very unhealthy county. It's not, Vigo County's always struggled with that. We've got to really attack that. And it's going to be a long-term project. It's going to go well on beyond my years of service, but we've got to figure out how to make a healthier community. Mental health and addictions are a big deal, especially after COVID. There's money coming from the state in this next legislative session. We work with our local providers. We had a great meeting a few weeks ago and brought them all together up at Union Hospital and trying to figure out how do we reach to more people, you know, take the stigma away from mental health. Parts of the community plan related to tourism, you know, the new casino's coming in. We've got the Griffin Bike Park. I've got a meeting this week with a guy that's really excited. He's from Missouri, but, you know, Gene Griffin brought him in to talk about the potential of what we can do with this Griffin Bike Park. Our goal is to bring more tourists to Terre Haute to, you know, spend their money and have a good time and enjoy it so we can showcase our community as we work on our workforce development plan. We just don't have enough people to take the jobs that we have, both in the service sector, manufacturing, even in healthcare. I heard from CEO Union Hospital recently, they're having trouble filling positions. So we've got all these positions. They're paying more these days, right. Yet we're still not finding the people to fill them. We're out recruiting more businesses to come to Terre Haute. So when you kind of just step back from it, we've had some successes, but we have some challenges, and we're trying to figure out how to best address those.
And if people haven't driven down Wabash and seen all the progress with the convention center, it really is a positive sight for downtown Terre Haute.
You know, it's a huge improvement, and there's a couple of other things we're working on that are going to contribute to making it even better, but our goal is to make it a place who people that are living there, that they're excited about Terre Haute. There's, you know, things you can do and see, but then we also want people to come and visit us or, you know, whether students that are here at the universities, but, you know, Terre Haute's got it going on and we want to be a part of West Central Indiana and stay in the Terre Haute community. That's our goal. And we've got to increase our population. We got to increase our household incomes. We just need a bigger pool of folks to fill these jobs. We need entrepreneurs, you name it. I mean, we just really are trying to attack it from a multiple angles.
And I know this may seem basic for some listening, but for those that doubt the reason for the convention center, there are so many groups that get together for an annual meeting, and Indianapolis figured this out many years ago, and they're one of the top destinations in the Midwest when it comes to an annual conference. You're trying to get a piece of that action, and I think there's definitely a lot of potential in the future.
That's exactly right, because there were some people, you know, in the beginning were like, why does Terre Haute need a convention center? Well, you know, the Holiday Inn used to host a lot of conventions.
That's right.
They were small. You know, right. 300-400 people. But then when they remodeled and got rid of all that space, we had nothing left.
Right.
I mean, Holman Center, you know, the you can use the floor for one big event, but there was nothing else. And most communities our size at least have something to offer. And so we wanted to do something that really was right-sized for West Central Indiana, not trying to compete with Indianapolis or anything else. And so my guess is in about 10 years, I'm hopeful it won't be big enough, and we've already got some ideas of how we expand it somewhere down the road. But it takes a few years to build that business. So a lot of local events that happened in, you know, other places are moving there. We've had several conventions, but we need two more hotels downtown. So that's the next big step. We've got to have 400 rooms downtown to support the full use of the convention center. So even though the convention center's done, that'll be the next project, is getting those two hotels done to complement the two that are there.
And if you do the math, I mean, if a person goes to a weekend conference, they spend two nights in a hotel, usually sometimes three. They go out for dinner a few times. They put gas in their vehicle. Before you know it, these people have spent $500 to $1,000 on a weekend, and that really adds up, doesn't it?
And people do that everywhere.
Absolutely.
They go to other communities. So why not Terre Haute?
Absolutely. You know? So that's a good plan. And I think once the casino is done, that'll definitely complement that effort as well.
Yeah, because, you know, people like things to do in the evening, so they come to a convention in Terre Haute. Okay, what else can we do? Oh, we can go to the casino one night,
sure,
or two nights or whatever it might be. You know, they want to go do something fun. They want to go out to eat. They want to go to a bar. They want to go to a museum on their free time. I mean, I go to conventions too, and you're always just kind of scoping out the community, you know, and each time you go, you find something else to go see, and that's what we're trying to do.
We're talking with Mayor Duke Bennett of Terre Haute. You mentioned museum. I guess there's a slight delay in the Larry Bird Museum downtown.
Yeah, you know, most of that. First of all, we wanted to get the convention center done, so our focus was on that, and we kind of left that space unfinished.
Okay.
But a lot of it has to do with just getting the collection together and determining, getting the agreements in place with Larry and his agent. And, you know, it's a process.
Sure.
And our focus, as I said, have kind of been on, okay, let's take some steps here. And then now it's starting to fall into place. So I don't have a month yet, but sometime later next year it'll open, once we get everything in place. And then, you know, you got to have Larry has a lot of stuff, and
sure,
it's been in storage. He's not big on, you know, putting it out there. So this will be a great way there's a ton of Larry Bird fans, and people will say, where are you from? Tell them, you know, Terre Haute, and it goes to the Larry Bird Con. I heard they're doing a museum there. I want to come and see that.
Absolutely.
And I think it'll be a big draw. You know, I know he's been out of the NBA for a while, but there is still a love for that guy that's unbelievable. And what he did, it's going to be a great addition to our downtown area.
You mentioned the new police station, the former Tribune Star building, and that does look spectacular.
You know, we ended up with 15,000 more square feet than we would have had if we'd have built a new building at our current site, or the previous site. And saved about $1 million at the end of the project by going that route. And it's in a great location. We have police officers that come for training and things from other places, and they're like, this is one of the best ones in Indiana I've ever been to.
Yep.
So we're pretty proud of that. It's going to set them up for hopefully the next, you know, 100 years. You have to make those investments, and if you don't take care of your own things as local government, you know, how do you expect other people to take care of things? So we've got a first-class facility now.
You mentioned recruitment for manufacturers and other businesses. What about the city? You've got how many employees roughly?
About 650, you know, give or take what part of the year. You know, we have a lot of part-time people and seasonal people.
Wow.
But it's in that range most of the year. And we've not increased it much, you know, and
sure,
when we kind of had our financial issues back in 2013, 14, 15, when the tax caps really hit us hard, we did have to lay a few people off in parks and cemeteries, but we've since been able to put those back in each year. I've added a few more back in. So we've kind of just held the line on our, you know, so when, you know, right now I would say we've probably got about 530 working for the winter, and then we add about 100 or so, 120 for the summer months for grass cutters and recreation workers and all that. So, it kind of stays right around those numbers. We haven't changed much.
Is there a specific need in any department right now?
You know, well, we can't find IT people. I mean,
really
hard because we can't compete with the private sector. It's
right,
really difficult. We're looking for a city planner right now, and I think we may have we found one finally, but that's a hard market to get somebody to come to Terre Haute, or, you know, who's got the qualifications that he gets. So it's those professional jobs more than anything. We are having, you know, some trouble finding people just to cut grass and run weed eaters, though. Nobody really wants to do that kind of thing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we've had to raise our salaries, too, for those jobs, and we start you part-time, and we work 28 hours a week, but, you know, that's how we fill our full-time position. So if you come in and do that and you work out really well, you know, you can get one of the better jobs in the next season. And so it's challenging, but not as much as it is for, you know, like I said, the service industry is really struggling. Manufacturing, they, you know, there are, I would guess there's probably 2,000 jobs open just in the multi-county area around us in manufacturing that's $22, $25 an hour, full benefits, insurance the same day you start. I mean, they've done all the things they need to do, but they still can't fill all the positions.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it is.
I have a theory on that.
Okay.
And of course, COVID disrupted a lot of this, as you know. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that just decided, if I don't have to work, I won't. But I also think us baby boomers, we've been awful good to our kids over the years compared to maybe when you and I were growing up.
Yep.
When if you wanted some extra money, you found a part-time job or put up hay or mowed or whatever. And it seems to me that there's a lot of people that have the honor or privilege to live off of mom and dad's trust funds.
Yeah. You know?
And they're not working. They don't have to work. You know?
I don't, man, when I was in school, high school, I started working in a grocery store. And it was right by my house. And I was thinking that was pretty cool to get a paycheck.
Absolutely.
Have a little money to spend, you know, and my mom was encouraging me to, you know, and my dad, he worked all the time. So he was just like, that's the way it is. That's what you do. Take care of your family and you're going to have a family at some point. But, and I tried to raise my kids that way, but you could start to see a little bit of a shift. You know, they're both around 30 now.
Right.
And then now my grandkids, I'm like, how do we kind of turn that tide? Because I worked all the time I could, and all through college, I paid my own way in college. I didn't take out any student loans, and you know, it's just not like that anymore. And people kind of get trapped in that, and it's hard to get out of that once you kind of start that way.
Absolutely.
Not saying you can't. I'm just saying that, you know, things have changed.
But,
you're right.
But I will say that the potential workers are in the driver's seat right now, because you mentioned the pay rate or the pay rates are up and the benefits are up. So for those that want to work, there's no excuse not to find a job
there
right now.
There is plenty of opportunity.
Absolutely. Hey, you had something that took place in the city that the council had to deal with. And I used to be on a board of zoning appeals, and that was an interesting position. It was kind of a love-hate position at one time in the community I used to live in down in Davies County. But I noticed you had a situation that was a little unique that maybe sometimes people forget to check into before they start a business in a residential area. And a person made an investment in a home and tried to make it, I think, a spa or something. And they found out that, hey, you have to be in a zoned area that's more consistent with a business. And apparently it got voted down, like, what, 5-2, I think it was, or something. Yeah, or,
you know, we love small businesses. You know, most people work for small businesses.
Sure.
So the more the better. But when you are going to start a business or relocate a business somewhere, it's so important to, I'll just give you the example. In the case of the city, call our engineering department. Just start there. They can tell you all the rules.
Right.
Tell you what you can and can't do with the property you're looking at, and or what you need to do in order to do more. And then you can say, okay, now I need to go get an attorney and figure out how I get this rezoned, as an example, in this case. But you don't go ahead and just do all of it, you know, remodel a building, begin to do things, especially in a residential neighborhood, knowing there's probably going to be some pushback from people who are living next door or down the block, because there always is. I mean, there's somebody who doesn't want it in their neighborhood. This particular neighborhood is an old, established, you know, it's a mix. There's businesses already in there, but there's been a lot of issues over the last 5-6 years about businesses locating in there. Front page news, you know, big, lots of issues with people saying, well, you know, let's keep it residential. And so in this particular case, it makes it difficult for the council to sit there and look at that and say, you should have come first. And then if that didn't work out, you go somewhere else and not, you know, spend your money there. And so you just need to know what those guidelines are, what those rules are before you ever spend one penny on a facility.
Or it reminds me of, we got to put grandma, you know, at the house. Let's put a house trailer in our backyard. And you realize, hey, you can't just put a house trailer up anywhere.
We'll
get
those calls and people think, well, it's my land. You know, I could do whatever I want.
Right. But
there are guidelines. In the city of Terre Haute, it's not. There's a lot of more progressive communities that have a lot more stringent rules.
Absolutely.
So it's not difficult or showstopper for everybody, but you got to know what those are first. And we'll help you. The county will do the same thing. Just call, talk to the right people, get your answers to your questions, and then figure out your battle plan. Because going about it like that one, you know, I hope they're successful. I just don't know how what they do next. They're going to lose some money on their investment.
Hey, you had some news that I know is not under the city's thumb, but I still think this is a problem that Vigo County and Terre Haute in particular have to figure out eventually, and that's the school situation. You know that the referendum, of course, failed miserably earlier this year on finally finding a way to upgrade the buildings, especially at Terre Haute North, South, and West Vigo. And then we get news Monday night that Rob Hayworth, the superintendent, has decided to retire at the first of the year. What can you do, I guess, to help encourage not only the new school board that's been elected, but how are we ever going to resolve the issue of trying to upgrade schools? Because you know from an economic development standpoint, that's one of the biggest things that potential employers look at when they drive through your city. And if they see 50 and 60-year-old buildings that are kind of in disarray, that makes it tougher for you, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. So, you know, when businesses look to relocate, There's probably about four or five really big things to them. One is the utility cost.
Sure.
The land cost, obviously, the taxes. But it always comes down to what's the quality of your K through 12. I mean, the leadership team that comes in that's going to run a plant or whatever it may be, that's really important to them. They need to be able to find a good house in a good neighborhood with a good school and knowing that their kids are going to be in a great environment. And a lot of times that's the deciding factor, especially the spouse of maybe the plant manager or whatever. You know, they want to be able to then sell it to the other team members they want to bring along with them. But this is great. But if you don't have that, it has the opposite effect. They're looking at other communities that are spending money on their school facilities and making sure they're graduating, a big number of their kids and are prepared for college or the workforce. I think my gut tells me, I mean, I thought it would be a closer election on that referendum. It kind of blew me away how big of a message the community sent.
Right.
I think it's just too big of a bite of the apple. And I think there could have been more information. There could have been more community involvement in what the plan looked like. They kind of kept it within the school corporation. I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking. I think here's what you do to move ahead to figure this out, because we have no choice but to invest in our schools. We're going to have to borrow money as a school corporation, and we're going to have to fix these schools up. We just need to do it very prudently. And, you know, there were a lot of factors working against them in the referendum. Just the timing was bad with the economy and everything else.
Right.
But now that it's over, okay, fine. Let's start developing a strategy and get community buy-in on how we do this so it doesn't, you know, crush people financially who can't afford, you know, a huge increase in property taxes, but still get that done and show that we're going to get it done. Because right now, okay, what's next? You know, people are saying, well, Terre Haute and Vigo County is not going to invest in their schools. Well, I think we are, but I don't know what that looks like yet. So new superintendent will be coming in sometime next year. And, you know, I'm assuming new school board members will get a new strategy.
I noticed that around the state, I think there was a handful of referendums, and I think half made it and half failed.
Yeah,
so
it wasn't very successful. I mean, and, you know, the economy is a big piece of that. But at the end of the day, you've got to have great schools. And,
right.
You know, I went to Terre Haute North. I graduated in 78. I think it opened up in 71, 72, whatever year that was.
Right.
And that doesn't sound like it's that long ago, but we're already, no. I mean, they're very old. And not that they haven't done some things to fix them along the way, but like anything else, when it becomes, you know, 50, 60 years old, it needs some major, something's got to give.
Well, I think we know the truth. When the late 60s and early 70s, when they designed these buildings with flat roofs, that's one of the dumbest things we ever did, I think. So
I know. Nobody does that anymore.
No,
they're pretty smart about that.
Final thought or two, we're going to touch on possibly re-election in a moment. Before we get into politics, anything else you want the community to know from the mayor's office right now?
I would just say that things are going really well. You know, we've got a solid budget as the city of Terre Haute. I still have to answer that question periodically. We've had next year's budget that's been approved and sent to the state. Will be 8 straight years of a balanced budget. We're building our reserves up, and now we're able to start spending money in the community, quality of life projects. We got some ARPA funds, ready funds that we're kind of holding tight on some things, but great things are coming. We want to really do that quality of life, quality of place, kind of improve our parks, more paving, more sidewalks, those things that everybody can enjoy and take advantage of. So things are going really well. I mean, I couldn't be any more excited about the direction. It's just, we've got to increase the workforce. We've got to increase our housing opportunities for people. We've got to figure out how to make us stand out. We're competing with the world. You know, we're starting with Indiana here. Every city in Indiana we're competing with, the Midwest, but it's really the whole world. And if we're going to grow Terre Haute, we've got to be hitting everything on all cylinders.
And you mentioned health earlier, and that's not just a problem in Vigo County. Yeah. A lot of these rural counties especially, we're not as healthy as we need to be, and people have got some personal responsibility in this. And yep. Even myself, I've tried to do a better job on my own diet. I need to exercise more. We all need to do those things, but it's not always easy when you're busy trying to work and raise your family and so forth. But it does make a difference if you want to live longer and have a healthier environment. So I guess... And I don't know how we can dictate that to people from a government standpoint.
I think it's just raising awareness about that, because you want to be around for your grandkids.
Right.
And that's what I look at. Everything I do, I try to think about how can I make it better so when my grandkids or adults are like, you know what, this place is where I want to stay. But you got to be healthy too. And it's a huge expense for employers when you're sick and you're not there, and the insurance costs, and you're out of your own pocket. But sometimes I think people just kind of live for the moment, you know, and I know some people are living paycheck to paycheck. I get that. We really want to help you to advance yourself. But if you don't take care of yourself health-wise, you're not going to be there for your family, or you're going to cost, it's going to cost you a lot out of your pocket to take care of it. I've been pretty healthy all my life, fortunately. But in the last few years, I got COVID twice. I got prostate cancer.
Oh, boy.
I had to have shoulder surgery from all my years of athletic play. And it's like, it can just hit you quickly.
Yep.
And so I've watched my weight. I'm not perfect, but it's all those things. When you look at the list, we're horrible on cancer, horrible on heart attacks, diabetes, high blood pressure. Why? Let's figure out a way to start getting people to at least go see the doctor. I wouldn't have known about my prostate cancer had I not got a blood test. Well, I put it off for a while.
Right.
And luckily I found it, got rid of it. I'm all good to go. But I know some people right now, they're struggling with the same thing, that waited too long. And that's the key is just, and my wife, she got breast cancer. It's been 17 years ago now, but she found it herself and went and got it. And it was a battle, but she won that. And there's so many people out there struggling, but it's like, sometimes you just got to not be afraid or not be reluctant to go to the doctor. Let's start there. Let's start getting people to get early detection. Leads to whatever your ailment is, you have a much better chance of success if you get it found, you find it early.
No doubt about it. Okay, so we just got through a big election. We're all kind of exhausted from it, but yet here we go in Indiana. Next year, it's a city election year, mm-hmm. and you've already seen some mayors around the state announcing that they're running for re-election. You've served 4 terms when this next year is over. Are you going to shoot for a 5th term?
Well, I'll make that announcement, a decision very soon. I always kind of wait till December. I've done that every time. Some people say, oh, you need to get out there and tell what's going on. Here's what I can tell you. I love my job. I still get up every morning. I just got back from Washington, D.C. late last night. And, here I got to go take on the battle of today. And I really look forward to doing that. There's so many great things going on that I'm very positive, very high on Terre Haute and Vigo County right now. I'm going to wait just a little bit longer to make my decision. I talk to mayors all the time. We had an AIM conference a few weeks ago, and all the mayors got together. A lot of them are not doing it. They're just getting out. They're tired of it. It's a battle, and it's hard. I get it. But I really feel like it takes a while sometimes to get some things done, and I've got more things I want to be able to do. So I'm thinking positively about it, but I've not made a final decision quite yet.
Well, it sounds like you're leaning that way, and I don't think that's a bad thing for Terre Haute. The one thing I admire about you, Duke, even though we're not on the same political side, I think when it comes to a mayor's position, it's not as partisan as what sometimes people think. I mean, you're just trying to do what's best for the community. And if you've got good people skills, which you obviously do, and a lot of people like you, I mean, you just do what's in the best interest of your community, and good things can happen.
That's what I wish all politicians would
absolutely
do. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I tried to do that. I said that from day one. And so I get phone calls to my office and complaints, and I know who some of these people are. They don't support me. I know who, you know, I know them.
Right.
We treat them exactly the same as everybody else. There is no Republican or Democrat pothole.
Absolutely.
Or anything else going on. And I heard that from other politicians before I got into this, and I thought that I got to stay down that path. And so our goal is to provide service. You know, it's all about customer service. If you call for help, we're gonna help solve that problem. And when I go away, somebody else can come in, and hopefully they'll do the exact same thing. But right now, I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and there's a lot of good things to come.
Well, and I tell you what, as a former elected official myself, we need good people to step up and serve. It doesn't matter if it's school board, city council, mm-hmm. mayor, all the other offices up and down the ballot. If good people don't step up, we don't have as strong of government as we can have. And I just hope that people aren't turned away by what we're seeing nationally. It's gotten so toxic, and we could talk another 25 minutes yeah. about that later. But again, appreciate your service, and appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come update the folks in Terre Haute about what's going on. And there are good things happening in Terre Haute, and I think that's positive for everybody. We just got to continue to sharpen our axe, as they say, so to speak.
Absolutely. So. I appreciate you having me in, Dave.
Well, thanks again, Duke, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 on 104.9 WAXI, 7 a.m. on WAMB, 99.5, 106.9, and 11:30. Sundays at 6 a.m. on 105.5 WVIG, and 7 a.m. Sundays on 92.7 WFMB. For a download of this show and other past programs, you can visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks. Thanks for listening.